The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
This is your girl, Kathy Barnett. How y'all doing this morning? Oh, my goodness. It's like the news is coming at me. It's coming at me. Fast and furious. I had some thoughts in my head, and I woke up, and I saw that the FBI has said, Oh, no. You are listening to Kathy Barnett sitting in for our friend, my friend and yours, Dawn Stensland, on the Dawn Stensland Show. OMG. I'm trying to get myself together. Like, where do I even want to start? Listen, guys, this whole week I've been packing it in tight with my guests. It's Friday. Everybody's on vacation. But I do have two special guests coming up. We have Stephen Moore, the economist, the great economist, and friend to all of us who actually love this country. He's going to be calling in. But then later on, in the 11 o'clock hour, I have General Flynn, my friend and yours. I love him. I'll be walking in my backyard and I'll be like, I have a question. I'll just call him. Like, General Flynn.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. I've spent time with him in Florida.
I got to ask, where did this begin, your relationship with General Flynn?
I think when I ran for Senate, I met him. He flew out here. He did an event for me. He endorsed me, and from that moment on, he became, I had two advisors, national security advisors, and he was one of them for my campaign.
I don't mean to go down a rabbit hole, but I got to ask you to take us behind the scenes, because running a big-time campaign as you did, you received a lot of endorsements. I'm sure that made a lot of friends of yours, including Flynn. Is it standard practice that when someone endorses you, you kind of get their cell phone number to become friends like
this? No, it's not.
Okay.
But, you know what, and actually, I guess it goes back even before that, because this is when General Flynn, they were trying to put him in jail, he was just going through the ringer, and I happened to meet his brother. So I think that started it, and I became fast friends with his brother.
You got it with the family.
You know what? The family. It's always the family.
Are you invited to the reunions now there, Kat?
It's always the family. I did not get invited to the reunion, but I did get invited down to Florida. Happened to spend the weekend with them. I mean, such a great family. I mean, this family was like 10 toes down for him, right? It's the kind of family you want to have if you should ever get in the crosshairs of the government. Let's see. But what's so interesting right now, when I woke up this morning and I saw this whole thing about Bolton, you know, General Flynn, he was the first domino. He was the first one we saw get taken out by the deep state once Donald Trump got into office. General Flynn lasted for about 24 days. And so I had this, we did a couple of podcasts on this. You go to my YouTube page and just kind of scroll. It's one of the earlier YouTube interviews that I did with him, having him help explain how he was the first domino. He was the, and after General Flynn, I mean, they started going through Donald Trump's administration and just, you know, finding every ridiculous thing possible to get rid of Donald Trump's initial team. But what's interesting about General Flynn is that once he was taken out, Bolton was the one who replaced him as the national security advisor. I don't know. General Flynn would say this out loud, but he can't stand John Bolton. So I don't know if I can get him to say that on air, but I am certainly going to ask him to kind of explain that whole dynamics, because after, you know, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember 2016, if you can go back that far. We tend to forget, you know, if it's not trending on Twitter right now, it's like we have no memory of history. But I don't know if you guys remember this, that there were a number of people who were a part of the government establishment who all came out one after another saying, we will not work with Donald Trump. We will not work with Donald Trump. We will not work with this administration, right? Like, they started immediately, like right before Donald Trump was sworn in. It was like, I mean, the designers wouldn't design Melania's dress for the inaugural. Right. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember all of this. I have very vivid memories of how people who understood how the government worked, understood where all the dead bodies were, understood, you know, the relationship, understanding that Donald Trump is not a career politician, so he wouldn't know these things. He would need to be guided, and they all came out lined up saying, we will not work with this man. And so again, Donald Trump started going out, getting all these various people. And one of the people he brought in was General Flynn, who didn't know where all the bodies were buried. I don't know if you'll talk about that when I have him on. And they needed to, there was a reason why they needed to get rid of General Flynn first and immediately. And that's exactly what they did. And then once they were able to remove General Flynn, then they were able to bring in deep stater himself, John Bolton. Look at him right there. I see him. I'm looking at this TV screen. I mean, just ridiculous. So for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about right now, this at first light today, Friday, August 22nd, FBI agents launched a court-authorized raid on the Maryland home of former National Security Advisor John Bolton. The operation began around 7 a.m. Eastern Time and is connected to a national security investigation into the handling of what? Classified documents. Do you have that clip ready that I sent to you earlier about John Bolton? You know, this is when Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home was raided over what? Classified documents. And listen to this man smack his lips in joy.
He's just eating the leftovers off his mustache.
Any given moment. But I don't think he cared about the classification system. I don't think he appreciated the sensitivity of this information, and he didn't appreciate the sensitivity of how it was often acquired, the so-called sources and methods. So this had been briefed to him before I arrived. It was repeated frequently. I think it simply had no impact on him whatever.
There's a couple of different ways that people think about this, and people who are not friendly to the president who think about what's happened here. And one of them is, you know, Donald Trump, master thief, you know, criminal, running some kind of elaborate conspiracy to bring things out of the White House and keep them secret, for potentially for political or financial gain. There are other people who add its attitude is Trump is chaotic. He's careless. He's not that smart. He took these things almost by mistake, and now he's basically stamping his feet and saying, they're mine. I don't want to give them up. Give me a sense of where you think the truth lies with respect to Trump's intelligence, carelessness, and the degree to which he might have brought motive to bear on taking these documents out of the White House and keeping them for this long at Mar-a-Lago.
Well, I it's very hard to speculate on motive other than that he liked cool things. He saw things that he wanted to take them, and he was pretty much able to take them, and not just on classified information matters, on all kinds of things that crossed his desk. Some days he liked to eat a lot of French fries. Some days he took classified documents. He wanted them. Why did he want them? Because he could get them.
Because he could get them, right? Aww. So this is back in 2022, and the left, legacy media, they love trotting Bolton out in front of the American people to malign Donald Trump every chance he got. And he relished in the moment. Why? Because he was a part of the first Trump administration. And so that brought some legitimacy to what he was saying. And he was like, just eating, licking his fingers on like, ooh, I got some tea. I got to spill this tea. We got to talk about Donald Trump. And now Cash Patel, FBI Director Cash Patel, posted right when the raid was happening, no one, in all caps, is above the law. Boom. Now it's his turn. This is going to be so good. Okay. See y'all on the other side.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I called the president because I had some very good news from some new data that we've been able to put together that no one has ever seen before. And I'll just very quickly go through these. So I was telling the president that he did the right thing in calling for a new head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, because this shows that over the last 2 years of the Biden administration, the BLS overestimated job creation by 1.5 million jobs. That's a, Mr. President, that's a gigantic error. And I don't know if she's, I'm not.
It might not have been an error. That's the bad part. If it was an error, it would be one thing. I don't think it's an error. I think they did it purposely.
Whether that, you may well be right, but even if it wasn't purposefully, it's incompetence.
Right.
What's up, Pennsylvania? This is your girl, Kathy Barnett, sitting in for our good friend, Dawn Stensland, on the Dawn Stensland Show. You're listening to the number one talk radio station in Pennsylvania that covers most of the Mid-Atlantic states. And the voice you heard coming out of that break is none other than Stephen Moore, who is an American conservative writer and television commentator on economic issues, serving as a senior visiting fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation. And you heard him there in the White House talking to the president and the media about the why it was necessary to fire, I'm probably going to chop her name up, but Erica McIntarfer. what a name, right? That, like, that alone should have told us we have problems, Mr. Moore. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. So great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me on the number one talk radio station in the entire state of Pennsylvania.
I know.
And, and I did have a wonderful trip over to the Oval Office with the president. And it was funny because what you know, the backstory of that incident is that I had come in with a bunch of big poster charts for the president because he loves to, you know, look at charts and the data. And I showed him not only the one on the jobs, but also the fact that incomes were, did you know, median family income under Trump in his first term in office were was up $6,500. Do you know how much it was up under Biden?
How much?
$500. So it's up 10 times. Trump did a 10 time better job helping the middle class in terms of income gains than Biden. And so far, by the way, this year already in just his first 6 months in office, median family income is up another $1,000. So and that's all adjusted for inflation. And so, you know, Trump got very excited about the numbers. And then he, you know, he calls in all the press and he says, we've got an important announcement to make to you. And Steve, take it away. I'm like, hubba. I didn't know. It was very funny, but I was able to rally. And it was just, you know, that was my 5 minutes of immortality. Now I can die a happy man.
Listen, Stephen, when you're messing around with the president, you have to be ready in season and out of season to give an answer.
It was great. And, you know, he was in a great mood. What he's done for the economy in just the 6 or 7 months he's been in office, really been incredible. Just a complete turnaround in terms of, you know, the improvement in the business conditions, the improvement. And obviously the stock market's been on a record tear. Last couple of days it's been down a little bit, but it's been a good bull market rally. You see all this investment capital that Donald Trump is bringing into the United States from other countries, because the U.S. is sort of the alpha male again when it comes to places people want to invest. So I'm, you know, and I as you know, I don't always agree with everything the president says and does. And, you know, the first thing he said to me, there's Steve Moore, he doesn't like my tariffs. And I said, well, some of your tariffs I like, some of them I don't like. But, you know, that's one thing that's great about Trump. You can go into the Oval Office, a little peon like me, and argue with him.
And
he's done an amazing job for the American people.
He has.
By the way, let me just say one other thing. Even in those occasions, you know, when I go in and see the president, as you know, when I disagree with him, and sometimes I do, I always feel like in his heart, he is really trying to do what is best for America and putting America first. And that's what a president should do.
And absolutely. And I have seen over the past 7 months now that he's been in office around and about, is that I've seen maybe four different times when he had a particular thought and position in mind. And I've seen him change that position to be open to what his base was actually saying. You name it. I don't care. You know, I'm all the way from how we're dealing with how we dealt with Iran to the Jeffrey Epstein files, whatever it is. I mean, I haven't experienced that and watching that in real time a leader of this country, even at the state level, have an opinion in their mind, and then the people begin to say, no, I disagree, or wait a minute, let's pause. And then you see that same leader saying, you know what, let me take this into consideration.
Yeah, he does. He likes to take different, you know, different voices, listen to different people. And he's got very good economic instincts. I mean, the fact is, he's a very successful president. I mean, a businessman. And, you know, this is what's sort of unique about Donald Trump is normally we've elected politicians like Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. And that didn't turn out so well, did it? I don't think Joe Biden ever hired a worker in his whole life. He started a private business.
Right.
So it does make a lot of difference when you get somebody who knows how to meet a payroll and run a business and make a profit. And Trump is has been, you know, I think he's on his game right now, totally. And, you know, I live in D.C., as you know, and, you know, gee, how dare he bring the National Guard to
control the, I was going to ask you about that.
You know, by the way, the people who are most victimized by the crime, you know what demographic group
yeah,
is most
black.
Victimized by the crime?
Black people.
Black Americans, yes.
Yeah.
So why is it racist to try to get the crime? And, they're, you know, they're the ones who are getting robbed. They're the ones who are getting mugged on the street corners. And it, look, I think it's a disgrace. I've been here for 35 years that, you know, you can go within 1 mile of our nation's capital and get mugged.
Yeah, I know, right? I heard Donald Trump give this analogy. He said his father would take him out to restaurants, and his father told him, if you're going into a restaurant and if the front door is dirty, you don't want to eat at that restaurant, because if the front door is dirty, then the kitchen is even dirtier, right? And he equated that to Washington, D.C. This is the front door when nations come to our country. D.C. is the front door of the rest of the nation. And if you can't walk a block without getting mugged and harmed, that says a lot about the rest of the country and whether or not other nations think we are supreme. And if they want to repatriate those dollars and bring in that capital investment.
It's a great point. And, you know, it's a really good point that you're making and the president made. And you're right. You know, the capital that when people from around the world come to the United States, one of the first places they come to is our capital.
Right.
And if you're right, if they see dirty windows and broken windows and people running around with guns shooting at each other, they're going to say, oh, you don't want to go to America. That's a terrible place because this is the window of our country. So, you know, it's so interesting, too, because, you know, when I talk to people on the, you know, if you listen to the media, oh, my God, this is so outrageous. The federal takeover of the Washington, D.C.
Right.
And then when I ask people on the street, black, white, Hispanic, young, old, they're like, thank God somebody's getting rid of the criminals.
Listen, black people never came up with that stupid notion of defund the police. That's a stupid idea. And black people did not come up with that. It was Stephen Miller describe these people? Do you have that ready?
All right. 90-year-old hippies. Yeah.
Communists. White, stupid hippies.
That has had any safety for its black citizens for generations. And President Trump is the one who is fixing that with the support of the Metropolitan Police Department, the support of the National Guard, and our federal law enforcement officers. So we're going to ignore these stupid white hippies that all need to go home and take a nap because they're all over 90 years old.
I love it. I mean, like, they're not living downtown. Like, they're not the primary victims. It's the young black mom and dad who's trying to get their kid just to get across the street and coming into harm's way.
Well, the other issue that, you know, Trump has really helped minorities with, you know, Joe Biden and Barack Obama almost no other modern president really did much for was school choice. And we now have the most rapid expansion of allowing, you know, lower income and especially minority Hispanic and black parents to send their kids to the best school they can and not be trapped into one lousy school. You know, I'm from Chicago. You know, we've got almost half our schools are complete failures.
Yeah.
So it's almost child abuse to have to send your kid to a school where they're not safe, they're not teaching, et cetera, et cetera. Trump just he is the biggest advocate for school choice that we've had in the White House ever. Ever.
Yeah.
So,
praise
you know, a lot
Lord.
Of things. I don't understand why that doesn't get, why the media doesn't talk about those kinds of things.
Stupid white hippies. Know. Communists need to go take a nap. That's the reason. Let me ask you real quick. I woke up this morning Democrats always said no one's above the law. And this morning I woke up to former Ambassador John Bolton's home office being raided right there. What do you say? You have any thoughts on that?
I had just seen that story. I don't exactly know what it's all about. And,
classified documents.
You know, we'll see.
Mar-a-Lago all over again.
Yeah. Well, was this the FBI or who was it that raided his?
It was the FBI.
So I'll have to look into that one. But, I thought one of the most outrageous things that happened under President Biden was when the FBI raided his compound at, you know, a former president of the United States.
Right.
And as Trump said, hey, Joe, all you had to do was ask me for these documents. I would have given to you. But instead, he sends the whole National Guard and the FBI with machine guns. That was outrageous.
Absolutely. Hey, let me ask you a question about an article that you wrote. Drill, baby, drill is working. Yes, it is working. It worked before. In 2016, we saw that it worked. And now you wrote in here, you said, all told, American energy in the ground is a $50 trillion treasury chest that has the ability to pay off our entire national debt. And it's working again. It's booming again. What do we need to make sure that when Trump is no longer in office, we don't go back to what we just lived through under the past 4 years?
Now, you're talking about on the energy issue? Or?
Correct.
Yeah. So, you know, Trump, we are, first of all, I think most of your listeners know this because you have smart listenership. You know, there's no country that is endowed with greater natural resources and energy resources than the U.S. of A. You know, we have so much oil, gas, coal. We have incredible minerals. I mean, it makes me so angry that we're now dependent on China for some of these precious minerals and the vital, you know, rare earth minerals. When we have more of it than any other country, it's just that the left has not allowed us to do any mining for 50 years or 25 years at least. So we need to use all our energy resources. That what Trump is doing. We are producing more American energy today than ever before. And guess what? Look at the gas prices. They're falling again. That didn't happen under Biden.
It sure didn't. Thank you so much. Sorry, I know you got to run. Thank you so much for popping in. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Yes. This is Stephen Moore, who we just listened to. Stephen Moore, an American conservative writer, television commentator on economic issues, serving as a senior visiting fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation. Thank you so much, sir, for calling in. And here's the number if you want to call in, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. We're going to have a good day, regardless of the stupid white hippies communists who need to go take a nap holding up stupid signs. I'm going to get to that in a few moments, but right now I have, you know what, actually let me just read the sign, and then David, I'm going to come to you out of South Carolina. But Winsome Sears, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, who is running for governor of Virginia. She was at a rally. She was speaking. And again, here's a communist, white hippie, stupid white hippie woman who needs to go take a nap because she's 90 years old, according to Stephen Miller, holding up a sign that read, "Hey, Winsome, if trans can't share your bathroom, then blacks can't share my water fountain." How dumb is that? If you're on YouTube, you're looking at it right now. We just posted the video of this white-haired, stupid, white hippie woman who needs to go take a nap saying, if trans can't share your bathroom, then blacks can't share my water fountain, as if the two are synonymous. It's so stupid. And here's another white man trying to explain to her, if you're looking at the YouTube video, that that is racist. David, let me take your call. How are you, sir?
Hey, Kathy, how are you?
I'm doing well.
First, I got to give you props for that song. My one twin is a huge Forrest Frank fan.
Yeah.
I even took her up to see him in Charlotte. I mean, I never heard of him until she started talking about him, but I do actually kind of like it. It's not my kind of Christian music, but I've learned to like it through her. So
I like
props
it.
Props for that.
Yes. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you something. There's a gospel station down here that has a radio show, a talk show every weekday. And there's this woman who comes on there. Of course, these are black people. These are liberals and everything. These are Jim Clyburn's lapdogs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told her about this preacher in North Carolina named Patrick Wooden. I don't know if you've ever seen any of his videos, but he's phenomenal. And she makes comments when you talk about someone like him, that she has this phrase, skin folk ain't kin folk.
Yeah.
So basically, she would look at you and say, you're not really black.
Yes.
Because you don't vote the way she says you should vote.
Correct.
So do you, I'm just, I'm, you know, I'm not trying to sound patronizing, but I really admire people like you that, because I know you're getting pressure. I know there are people in your family that look at you, you know, differently because of this. And it's almost like you have to hide it in shame. A buddy of mine went to get some work done here, and this black man ran this little welding shop, and he could tell my buddy was definitely a Trump guy. He said, let me show you something. He went to the back, brought back his MAGA hat, and he said, I can't wear this in public. I can't wear this around at the family reunion, but I'm going to show it to you. So I'm just amazed that people are able to do that, because they get ostracized and, you know, criticized for it and made to feel bad about it. So I'm just curious your thoughts on that. Like, how do you handle that?
Yeah, David, thank you so much for calling. Stay right there. I want you to stay with us. But I want to ask, are you calling from South Carolina?
Yes, ma'am.
Look at our station, Dan. I told you guys, I say it all the time, we're the number one. This is huge. Thank you so much, David, for calling in and asking that question. You're right. Let me tell you something. You cannot have thin skin and be black and vocally a conservative. I mean, when you see a black person who is very vocal about their conservative values and are open about voting for the Republican Party and specifically 10 toes down for what Donald Trump is doing, you already know you got a winner on your hand. When I see black people like that, I'm like, okay, you are my brother or my sister in so many ways. But one of the things I learned, you know, through all of this, because I've been a conservative for a very long time, and most black people are conservative, but I've been a conservative who've actually been learning to vote my values since probably as a junior in college. Like most black people, I too came out of the womb and was almost grafted right into the Democrat Party. But as a young woman who's smart, not morally compromised, willing to look at hard things and do hard work, I was willing to look beyond the color of someone's skin and say, well, what are the values you're bringing to the table, and do those values align with my values, right? I did this with Barack Obama. Obviously, as a young girl growing up in the deep south of Alabama, you see a black man who is looking like he has a really good chance of winning the presidency. Well, you take notice of that, obviously. But I can't solely vote for him because of the color of his skin. How myopic is that? How small-minded is that? But it took me about 5 minutes of research to see how he had voted as a senator and as a state legislator in Illinois to realize, and I read his book about his father, and I read articles about him. It took me less than 5 minutes to realize this is someone I could never vote for, and I became very vocal about why other black people, I wasn't in politics, just minding my business, trying to live my life. And I started being very vocal, and I started seeing a lot of pushback on people who know me to be a good person, an earnest person, and all of a sudden they pretended they didn't know me. Donald Trump pops on the scene. I lost all of my black friends. No one. I lost all of them. Years of relationship, decades of relationship, because they just couldn't wrap their mind around, I may not want to vote for the person they want to vote for. All of a sudden, everyone became extremely intolerant and all the lies. And so
they understand basic fairness. You know, they understand boys should not be in girls' locker rooms in their sports and everything. People understand fairness, but they get so indoctrinated. Oh, I got to vote this way, though.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, I'm telling you, it is very hard. And so unlike your friend who hide his conservative values or how he voted, I would actually come alongside him and give him and try to give him the courage to live his life out loud. People are watching. People are listening. And no, it's not easy. No, people will call you names. People will stop returning your phone call and ghost you. But this is a part of the process of living in a free country. When it was said, we have a republic, if you can keep it, he wasn't just talking about legislators. It starts with us. We are the culture. The culture is us and how we show up and share our beliefs. I will not hide my conservative flag. I am proud of who I am. I love this country. I want to do my part in handing down to the next generation, my children and yours, a better America than the one that was handed down to me. And it starts with us not being afraid. I don't care if you're black, white, or whatever. We got to start speaking up.
Well, I sure appreciate you, and I enjoy listening to your show.
Yay! Thank you so much. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at Kathy4Truth. David, that was so encouraging. You know, and let me just say real quick for all of you, how much time do I have? Do I have enough time?
Yeah, you sure do. Got about 3 or 4 minutes here.
Okay, good. Okay. I don't want to get cut off on this thought. Here it is. It's no secret that America has a complicated history. Slavery, segregation, racism, these are wounds we have struggled to heal. But somewhere along the way, somewhere on this journey, the memory of those wounds stopped serving as a source of learning and began functioning as a tool of control. And that is what the liberal left has done. They have taken our complicated history as a nation of slavery, segregation, and racism, and they have weaponized it, turned it into a weapon. It does not serve black people. It does not serve the overwhelming majority of Americans. It does not serve America. It serves their own agenda. We are no longer allowed in this country to remember our history in order to grow beyond it. We are expected to wallow in it, to be defined by it, to be paralyzed by it, and forever manipulated through it. This isn't about healing. It's moral blackmail. And that is how they have used the history of slavery. I have the blood of slaves coursing through my veins. I take it very serious. I take it very personal when I see white people, primarily liberal white people, holding up signs talking about you're not allowed to use my water fountain. If a man is not allowed to go into your bathroom, it is not the same. That trans man, now if you want to wear a dress, be happy, twirl all day long, I don't care. But the moment you come outside of your door and now you're stepping into my space, guess what? In America, this is when we are supposed to be able to stop, let's talk about it, right? But the moment you tell me to shut up, sit down, be quiet, the trans struggle is just like the black man's struggle. That's a lie. The two are not the same. No matter how hard I try, I cannot hide the fact that I'm black. I can't roll over tomorrow and not be black. Maybe if I had the money of Beyonce and Michael Jackson, I could start the process of bleaching, but I would never. I would never. If I could go and come back, I would choose to be me. I hope you can say the same thing. But this is what it is. Our history as a nation, our complicated history of slavery, segregation, racism, it is being used as moral blackmail, and it has been used as a weapon to force the rest of us who are not morally compromised, stupid, a communist, and an old white hippie who needs to take a nap, to accept things.
These stupid white hippies that all need to go home and take a nap.
We are being manipulated to adopt behaviors and laws and policies that we would never otherwise adopt. All of you who allow these teachers to teach your little white children that somehow they're evil, this is moral blackmail. And you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say why you didn't have a backbone to go in there and pull your child out and flip over tables as you were walking out with your baby. Why did you allow these people to break the spirit of your little white kid? Because it's moral blackmail. It is effective. And if we don't get our mind wrapped around it, guess what? They're going to do it again. If we should lose in the midterm, if Donald Trump gets out of office in 3 years from now, these people are going to come back and explode onto the scenes like a bad case of herpes. You heard it first from me. You're listening to Kathy Barnett sitting in for our girlfriend, Dawn Stensland, on the Dawn Stensland Show, listening to the number one talk radio station. What about that? Hey! Hey, everyone. Thank you so much. David, thank you so much, David, from South Carolina. Thank you so much for calling in. That's so cool. I just saw that you were on live chat and you said, I feel like I want to call Kathy and pick her mind on something. Thank you so much. I love that. Yes, please feel free to give me a call right here. I am here for all of it. Just call 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Before I go to Winsome Sears again, I want to talk to Ed. Hey, Ed, how you doing?
I am doing great. Kathy Barnett isn't just a beautiful dame, but she's on top of her game. I'm loving every minute of it.
I love it. Thank you so much, Ed. I mean, like, we have to have our rhyme of the day.
Hey, you're a pleasure because you're like a treasure.
Yes, I agree. I hear no lies.
Hey, isn't it amazing that Trump has to get into these inner cities that from the time I was a kid, even being in Philadelphia, I remember a cop saying when I was sitting in the bleachers, and I'm only a kid at like 9 years old, mm-hmm. and he said, you know, son, there's neighborhoods I won't even go in unless I got massive backup.
How about that? That is true.
I mean, this has been going on forever, and it took Trump now to get to this problem.
Because Trump actually Trump actually wants to solve the problem.
Yes. And I love every minute of it.
Thank you so much. You got a rhyme to take us out?
Oh, no. That was my fault.
Sorry, Ed. Oh. That was not me. Oh. Do you have that Winsome Sears?
Before we go there, I just want to give you an update in the YouTube chat. There's a new nickname for Ed. I'd want your thoughts on it there, Kathy. It's Busted Rhymes.
Busted Rhymes. Oh, Buster Rhymes. If you want to call it that, Buster Rhymes. Okay. Love it.
Yeah, here's Winsome there, Kath.
Good evening. My name is Winsome Earl Sears. I'm a Marine. I am a mother. I'm a grandmother. I'm an immigrant to this great country. It was my job growing up in Jamaica to dust the picture of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I also served as vice president on the Virginia State Board of Education. I have sat where you are sitting, and let me tell you, what is happening in our schools right now is just wrong. It's dangerous, it's insane, and it has to stop. Here's the truth. There are two sexes, boys and girls, and for generations we've understood this, that they deserve their own sports teams, their own locker rooms, their own bathrooms. That's not discrimination. It is common sense.
Okay, let me just pause there. I mean, because none of this is a news flash. Unless you're stupid, old white hippie communist who need to go take a nap, or unless you're morally compromised, you don't know the difference between right and wrong, maybe it's a news flash to you. But to the rest of us, this is not a news flash. How many of you call me if you did not know boys and girls should not share the same public bathroom? How many of you are confused? Please, please, please call me. I will give you a moment on the number one talk radio station. Yes, you will be talking to millions. Now you got to give your real name. 855-839-1210. Please, if you had no idea that a grown man with a beard and his genitals intact, wearing a dress and heels, if you did not know that there's something wrong about that person walking into a public restroom behind your 11-year-old daughter, please call me. I would love to hear it. If you had no idea that a boy who's been a boy all his life, now he's in college and decides he will never win a medal against other boys, but if he paints his nails and grow his hair out and pretends to be a girl and compete against your college daughter, then he can actually win something. If you had no idea that there's something flawed about that until now, and you're over the age of 2, please call. Let me give you that number, 855-839-1210. I will give you a moment. Now, you better call with your right mind. You better call and talk like you got some sense. But yes. Oh, we got to go to break? Yep, got to go to break. I see you on the other side. Call.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.